Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, I know what you're used to. We're gonna do something different tonight.
Perfume from a prima donna, King Burgers by Kanye, and Underwear by Usher. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, a look at music celebrities as entrepreneurs. Later, drummer and composer Bobby Previtt shares a multimedia work inspired by the Spanish painter Joan Miró. And later still, a band writes a song about a man who writes about bands, the music critic as Muse. But to begin, you heard right, the R&B star Usher is launching a line of lingerie for women and undergarments for men. He says comfort and intimacy will be the key. Some of his designs are on display in the video for this song, Trading Places. Is it getting hot in here, or is that just me? Usher isn't the only superstar with an entrepreneurial eye. As it turns out, more music celebrities are rolling out products these days, and here to introduce us to some of them is culture critic Cintra Wilson, a contributor to the New York Times and Salon.com. Cintra, is that J-Lo's glow that you're wearing?
No, I'm wearing Sarah Jessica Parker's bitter, actually.
Why does that seem to fit?
Wait.
So, look, it's good to have you back, but let me ask you, why is lingerie any different if Usher is there anything new to design in lingerie at this date?
Well, whose name do you want to see when you take your pants off is really the question, I think, at the end of the day. I mean, you know, Ralph Nader, maybe not, you know, but Usher, I could see those briefs going somewhere.
So why do you think he's doing this?
Well, celebrities always seem to find a way to cash in somehow on something with a really big profit margin. So just over the years, I think everything from SpaghettiOs to undergarments to an array of what some people call fragrances, which might also be sport drinks. But
So is this a function of there just isn't enough money to be made selling CDs, and so everyone's diversifying?
That could be a great argument for this. I mean, it just really seems like the money just happens so hard and so fast with things like fragrances and other products if they actually get off the ground.
All right, but now here's the thing. You know, musicians like athletes and actors and celebrities of all stripes have been endorsing stuff forever.
Loads of it.
But we're talking about something different now, aren't we? We're talking about people who are actually, you know, designing the clothing or designing the perfumes and stuff.
Well, what we really saw, I think, in the last decade was celebrities becoming brands very consciously in terms of having their own clothing lines and food products and hair accessories and you name it. If you can get a celebrity to sort of endorse it, that's kind of good for everybody involved. It's good for the conglomerate and it's good for the celebrity if it works.
Is it good for us?
I absolutely think it is not good for us, but that's just me because I'm curmudgeonly. So, but a lot of people really
because
like
you're
it.
Wearing bitter. You're wearing Sarah Jessica Parker's bitter. So.
I think I'm actually wearing toothy, but or is it Vicodin?
So why is it not good for us?
Well, I mean, it's really I kind of think it's more about the dumbification of everything in general, which is not actually a word, but I think you know what I mean. I mean, the
are you
markets,
dumbifying our English
I'm
language right here and now?
I'm dumbifying your audience as we speak. There has been a tendency, sort of an interpretive drift, I guess, toward marketing downward in spirals toward tweens, usually. Teenagers, people with disposable incomes. That's why we've seen such proliferation of celebrity fragrances, apparently, lately, is that there's a very high turnover and people want that immediate gratification of smelling exactly like their favorite celebrity.
As if they know what their favorite celebrity actually smells like.
Well, what's been funny is to hear comments from actual fragrance designers. I think I was talking to someone at the Maurice Roussel counter at Barney's who was lamenting the fact that, you know, somebody like J-Lo comes in and says, you know, I want it to smell like feta grape, you know, and so they actually gear towards the fragrance tastes of someone who doesn't actually know how to design fragrances at all.
Well, we're talking about musicians who are taking various routes to entrepreneurial success today on Soundcheck. My guest is Cintra Wilson.
Today on the Soundcheck blog...
So is the music industry now in such bad shape that even the top acts need to find another way to make a buck?
For the rest of the story, go to the Soundcheck blog at WNYC.org.
And while you're there on the Soundcheck page, you can leave a comment. And kind of a fun question, what product, real or imagined, would you buy from your favorite pop idol? So, you know, think of a musician and then pair them up with a product and leave it on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Or you can call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Cintra, let's talk through some examples. I mean, you said fragrances, for some reason, seem to be all the rage
all over the place, yeah. I mean, I think you remember probably back when Elizabeth Taylor's fragrance was all over the place, and she had a big hit with that, and that sort of spiraled into a whole lot of other celebrity fragrances. And then we got Britney. And this was really interesting, actually, researching this, because apparently... Curious, which was Britney's first fragrance, which came out in 2004, was one of the best-selling perfumes in world history. It made $100 million the first week it was out. And since it came out in 2004, it has made over $610 million. And she's had a bunch of fragrances come out since then. And actually, the Wikipedia entry, which I know Wikipedia may be a little
scarlet.
So
we know it's true.
Exactly. But it says, Spears has grossed over $900 million from perfume sales and has sold over 850 million bottles of perfume worldwide, which means one in seven people own a bottle of Britney Spears perfume. And then this is the quote I like best. This makes Spears the best perfume creator, seller, and endorser ever.
She is just a renaissance woman, that young Miss Spears.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. And J-Lo doesn't
right,
do
so
half bad either.
There's five people in the control room. You and I here, that's seven people. One of us owns a bottle of, according to this, one of us statistically must own a bottle of Britney Spears perfume.
I think you're
you ready to fess up?
Curious, man.
All right, well, Jennifer Lopez, her latest products include a line of swimsuits for women and a fragrance for men called Deseo. And USA Today reported that Lopez's starting point for the men's cologne were the smells of red hot sauce and whiskey. And the final result has notes of lemon, tobacco, suede, and amber. A little something for the ladies. And she does music too, J-Lo, but swimsuits and this men's fragrance called Deseo. Now, hip-hop stars are no stranger to business ventures, and among the latest is rapper and producer Kanye West, who is launching a franchise of the Fatburger fast food chain in his hometown of Chicago. This is the burger joint where you can actually get a 1.5-pound piece of beef called the Triple King Burger. Kanye West. Now, something a little bit different. The RZA from the rap group Wu-Tang Clan has launched his own website. It's a members-only chess website called WuChess.com. It'll set you back about $48 a year to be a member.
can never get this. No, I'm Terry Bomb and boom, that's warming up a little bit. Rapping is what's happening. Keep the pockets stacking, hands clapping at the party when I move my body.
Actually, this song from Wu-Tang Clan is called The Mystery of Chess Boxing. And you can play chess with the RZA and his friends at wuchess.com if you're willing to pony up $48 a year. And Cintra Wilson, culture critic, contributor to the New York Times and Salon.com, with me in the studio. And what's the point of all of this? I mean, it seems to me like the RZA is going for something a little different. He can't be planning to make a fortune on chess.
This has got to be boutique-y, I think. I mean, if you want boutique Wu-Tang chess, you know, this is going to be a niche that fits you. I don't think they're terribly worried about mass market appeal for this one. But it'd be nice if it did.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of kids to play chess. It's not such a bad thing. I mean, I worry more about stuff like the Hulk Hogan pasta collection, which he brought out with Pasta Mania. This is a thrilling article in Cracked that I read recently. But
we all read Cracked when we need information on our culture, and, you know, it's...
I find it to be a good source. That, yeah. And Wikipedia, I mean, it's like my...
And then you're ready to go.
And The Economist, that's it. Done.
So what else did Cracked have to say about, you know... I mean, actually, there's another ex-member of Wu-Tang Clan in their list of, like, weird celebrity endorsements, namely ODB.
Oh, right. That's right. You know, he had his own potato chip line out under his pseudonym Dirt McGrit. Or this is maybe his nom de guerre. It's his nom de chip.
So potato chips from the man who...
Not the only snack food with a celebrity endorsement. Apparently Jeff Foxworthy, the redneck comic, had his own jerky out, which sort of begs a lot of questions. Mm. I mean, like, what is Jeff Foxworthy jerky made of? But beef, apparently, so it's okay.
You mentioned before, especially when you were talking about Britney and her perfumes, the kind of the dumbing down of marketing and aiming towards, you said, tweens. Is that really who a lot of these things are aimed at? Are we going that young in terms of demographics?
Yeah, actually, apparently, there was an article that I read where women from Glamour magazine, Felicia Milovich, was talking about this. And apparently it's beneficial for the fragrance industry because it's very expensive to launch a fragrance. And fragrances used to have a shelf life of about 7 years. But then sales slipped, I guess, fairly dramatically. And they used to use celebrities for fragrances in the 1930s and in the 50s. There was a Mae West perfume by Schiaparelli, and there was an Audrey Hepburn perfume by Givenchy. And then it all became about clothing designers for a while. They sort of took over the fragrance market. But then after Elizabeth Taylor, and especially the success of Britney and J-Lo, then... It all began to be about resuscitating sales in the fragrance market as well, because it was much easier to get your money back if you had a celebrity endorsement.
Well, and again, we're not just talking about celebrity endorsements here. We're talking about people who are presumably actually involved in the making of the product. Renee Fleming, the opera star, the
right.
Soprano, actually was, you know, very much involved in the creation of this new La Voce by Renee Fleming.
Which is very interesting. It's kind of the snake eating its own tail, because she actually created the fragrance in order to get more people interested in opera.
Right.
Which is very curious, as opposed to using the celebrity to get more people interested in fragrance. So it's difficult to say where where the tide of influence really comes from.
Well, we actually had a chance to talk to Renee Fleming about this perfume just before the opening of the season at the Metropolitan Opera.
Well, I was involved from the beginning because obviously they want to make something that you're willing to wear and that you actually can promote personally by enjoying it. So, and it has to reflect, any celebrity fragrance has to reflect the person to some degree.
That's Renee Fleming on Soundcheck in September of this year. Cintra Wilson, the culture critic and contributor to the Times and Salon.com, is with me, and we're looking at this phenomenon of musicians who've become more than musicians and more than just endorsers, but designing clothes, designing swimwear, designing lingerie and perfumes and stuff like that. And in Kanye's case, you know, buying the rights to franchise a restaurant chain in his hometown of Chicago and things like that. Does this stuff work? I mean, there is the great example of Paul Newman as you know, someone who set up a company. It worked. It actually did some good as well. What about all these other things we're talking about? Are they following the Paul Newman model, or are they just following the money?
It was interesting that Paul Newman was able to cash in that way on a certain amount of amiability and trustworthiness, which was able to extend itself even to pasta sauce and pretzels and things after a certain point. People thought, well, it must be good. It's going to charity. And Paul Newman wouldn't have, because everybody knew that he didn't care. He didn't need the money. He didn't have to do anything. So it must be just some sort of hobby of love that he was doing. And perhaps this in some way extends this celebrity brand loyalty, suggests some kind of quality control maybe to people.
Well, then there's also the idea of, musicians founding record labels. Now, you know, that it used to be that if a musician was going to be an entrepreneur, that's what they would do. You know, Peter Gabriel with Real World Records, David Byrne with Luwaka Bop Records.
Right.
Except that nowadays, it seems like you have to be able to do that, to make a go of it.
You know? All of the music big companies are basically folding inward on themselves in the wake of the new music market, which is all on the internet. And there's very fuzzy lines between what you have to buy and what you don't have to buy and how much of it you have to buy. And so they've had to jump off the cliff in some ways and figure out new strategies.
All right. There are some comments coming in on the soundcheck page of our website, WNYC.org. Joe from New York, along with his potato chips, ODB should have sold Big Baby Jesus wafers.
Wow.
Well, we did invite people to say, you know, what they would buy, not necessarily what's out there.
Are they cream filled or?
I
probably shouldn't have asked that question.
you mentioned the potato chips were under the assumed name of Dirt McGrit.
McGrit.
Yeah. Big Baby Jesus.
Just
being
in case,
yet
old
another
dirty
of his,
bastard. Yes,
right.
Wasn't dirty enough. Big Baby Jesus. That's a good one.
So the Big Baby Jesus wafers.
You know, Steven Seagal had an energy drink, apparently, at some point. Just in case. I mean, how many times have you gone into the bodega and thought, I really wish I felt more like Steven Seagal right now. I need that pep.
Uh-huh. When the Hulk Hogan pasta just isn't doing it for you.
But, you know, if you really want pure power, you get both for the same meal, and then you explode into a white hot eye of pure radiance.
So, Cintra, what is the... I mean, we're talking about a lot of things that come in brick-and-mortar stores when we're talking about, you know, clothing and perfumes and food and stuff. What about web projects? You know, Peter Gabriel has done this thing called The Filter, where you tell them the music you like, the music you don't like, the music you kind of eh about, and then the films and the TV shows that, you know, you rate those as well. And then they tell you that based on your taste, you would like this music, you would like this film, and you should try this television.
Well, this is about
series.
The personalizing of everything and tailoring everything to your individual tastes. But it's interesting to take an algorithm like the Pandora algorithm, which was Pandora would be the sort of most visible website that actually figured out how to figure out your music tastes. To filter it through your own taste, but then to also filter it through Peter Gabriel's taste, apparently, to have Peter Gabriel's own endorsement on your taste somehow makes your own taste better.
Except I think that's not what The Filter is about. I mean, he sort of co-founded it, but apparently the engine is just suggesting that if you like these types of things, you will also like those types of things. It's not saying, well, you might try this song by Peter Gabriel. You know, it's.
Oh, no. I mean, but what it sounds like it's taken, you know, Peter Gabriel's name as a bumper sticker and slapped it over Pandora, ostensibly, unless it's suggesting more stuff than just other songs. But, I mean, it's interesting that you can, like, personalize that, but that would be, that's sort of like Billy Beer at a certain point. I mean, it's like you can take anybody's name and put it on anything at a certain point.
Billy Beer being a reference to the brother of President Jimmy Carter.
Sintra's algebra. Better than the other algebra.
All right, well, since we've been talking about Peter Gabriel and his website, thefilter.com, we'll wrap up with a little bit of his music. Whether there's a fortune to be made with a web-based recommendation engine, I don't know, but certainly the perfumes are out there and they're flying off the shelves and the clothing and the lingerie, and this is what pop music has come to, I suppose.
Britney Spears, the best-smelling human being in human history.
Sintra Wilson, my guest on Soundcheck. She's a culture critic and contributor to the New York Times and Salon.com. Sintra, good to have you back.
Thank you very much.
This is Soundcheck. Coming up next, drummer and composer Bobby Previtt tells us about his ambitious multimedia project inspired by a series of paintings by the Spanish artist Joan Miró. And later, drummer and music writer Michael Azarad talks about the dangers of self-Googling. Sounds kinky. That's coming up on Soundcheck.